Yeah, you wept on the number.
Yeah, you wept on that. We are very happy. The apology for Mr. Bessel, the activity, he divided themselves on a number of members. The others are in the original assembly, the others are here. We are happy that Mr. Bessel was here at the first briefing, and we can't complain that he is not here. Him and Mr. Mzelele, they are with the portfolio committee. We are with Mr. Bugela and Mr. Al Wills, and Ms. Dimakato Mutela. The other one, Ms. Pindile Dlamini Mzanengos. I think you know us for now, ne? We don't need to introduce ourselves. Maybe for those PMG, Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprise, and I represent Mpumalanga. And Loli, introduce yourself. Oh, you're still eating. Honorable Mlenzana, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Zola Mlenzana, representing the Eastern Cape, member of the committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, member of the committee and representing the North West Province.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dirk Veldman, member of this committee representing Gauteng.
Good morning. My name is Cornel De Beer. I'm a member of the committee in from the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Renel Barreto. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning. I am Loli, the committee secretary. Thank you.
PMG.
I'm Elini Puri from the Policy Monitoring Group.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning, I'm Don Bimikiso from the State Law Advisors.
Jamine, I think I have introduced you. You have the honor of me introducing all of you. So, can we...
We had the presentation, honorable members, if you will recall, before we went on recess, and we interacted so much with the bill. So we're going to get the last briefing. If there are burning issues, then we won't. We will see how far we go. But I think today is the last day for our deliberations in this bill. If there are no burning issues, then we'll cut my neck off. Can I hand over to Mr. Bugela? Who's briefing us? I'm still caucusing.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, we are. In fact, I was trying to check with my colleagues if there are really burning issues that we need to present, unless otherwise honorable members, after their interaction with the bill, there are issues that need clarity seeking, issues that are of need of concern. The department is here to respond to all those issues. So hence, honorable Chair, I was talking with my colleague, trying to think what areas that can be deemed burning that we can present to honorable members. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can you, Mr. Bugela, go through for the last time? Refresh our minds, because we were not here. We got the briefing, but just go through for the last time so that we'll get some other issues that we want to raise. And maybe I can say there is this report of the youth, what do you call it? The youth Eastern Cape Youth Development, what is it? Yes, the board.
the issues that they raised in their, the queues or the distance, maybe if you can highlight how the department is going to deal with that in your presentation. The submission by the Eastern Cape Youth Development Board talking about the long queue, shortage of staff, insufficient security, the post bank closing early, and the distance to the post bank. I know they're not going to be in they won't be covered in the bill, but maybe after the bill, then the department can do something. But let's hear what's your view on that.
Thank you, Chair. I must say, we've seen that submission must have been 6 or 7 months ago, so I don't recall exactly each and every statement made, but just off the top of my head, I recall that most of their issues were not directly related to I'd say, the content of the bill. Those are really service delivery issues which come at the end of the process, I would say, because the major focus of this bill, of course, is separating the post bank from the post office. Now, in terms of it becoming a new separate company, it stands on its own feet. It gets its own dedicated personnel, and now it becomes a form of fully fledged bank on its own. And by the time it's that, it would have been really the completion of the processes and things envisaged in this particular bill. Then, yes, it when we get to service delivery issues, those issues would be carrying on as we're creating this new bill. And by the time of this new bank, and by the time it's a new bank and running, service delivery issues will still be there. What makes it a bit different is, currently, there's nobody really, except for some oversight by ICASA, there's nobody really focusing on how good is the service at the post bank. Because, I mean, it's really a banking service, and ICASA's focus, I'd say, is more on ICT matters. So it's posts and telecoms and broadcasting as opposed to banking. So just speaking in general, I could imagine that ICASA's focus might not be at how a banking client can get the best possible service in the post bank. That's at present. But as this bill progresses and a new bank is being established, of course, a whole new regulatory environment kicks in, because now suddenly it's all subject to the Reserve Bank and the role play by National Treasury and others. And suddenly this bank is now in the banking fraternity, in the banking environment, and sort of a new set of rules that apply. There are different requirements, I'd say strict and stringent requirements on applying to the banking sector that suddenly would also apply to the post bank. So I would want to believe that in this new dispensation with this new bank, service delivery issues will certainly change. What's more is with this becoming such a dedicated bank, the staff would also be, in my view, become more specialized and become better trained at banking as such, as opposed to being traditional post office employees. They certainly become more skilled, and they'll be trained and up-trained in order to do real banking business and perform better services within a bank. So I think ultimately the net result of this whole process and this bill will be that the concerns raised by, the youth development group would certainly be resolved in time. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. What perhaps I can add to what my colleague was saying, I think the crux of the submission that we made from the Youth Rural Board was the issue of access, issue of quality, issue of security, and the issue of infrastructure. Subsequent to that, Honorable Members, COSATU came and presented the object, the vision that this bank seeks to achieve. Members shall recall that in a previous presentation here, Chair, in our committee, we said the object as it is today in the bill, it embraces the youth submissions and COSATU, because we had a different submission then to Parliament. But subsequent engagement made in front of COSATU and the Youth Rural Board, it was felt that there's a need to change the vision that it was encompassing the 1998 vision as government envisaged in the white paper. So the issue of access and the issue of security and the issue of quality is being highly regulated by the financial sector, by the Register of Banks. What government now seeks to do here is develop regulations that governance, that govern how this bank is going to operate jointly with the Minister of Treasury and the Reserve Bank on the issue of access. Members shall recall that in our previous presentations, we highly covered the fact that the area of prudential requirements that the Reserve Bank currently, with the Minister of Finance, are working on, because that's a technical spirit, a chairperson, that need a different expertise completely. So our role as mandated by the policy and the MOU which was signed with the two ministries was to ensure that we had a legislation that begin to unpack and unfold how this bank is going to operate. Chairperson, you shall recall that in the bill that three critical areas outlined that talks about the policy making. One is question of how this bank is going to borrow money, how this bank is going to invest money, and how this bank is going to lend. So these are beginning to talk to areas that consumers raise, precisely the youth board from the Eastern Cape. So in support what my colleague is saying, I think the issue of risk, Chair, has been taken care of by these legislations. As I'm saying, we are in continuous meeting as a working committee amongst ourselves with Treasury, Post Office, and the Reserve Bank to make sure that as soon as this bill becomes enacted, all risks are mitigated and we are able to produce a quite good company that can service our consumers. I will stop there, Honorable Chairperson, unless there are any further questions. Members, We had a very simple presentation that we made in this committee last time. Members can also refresh themselves if so wish. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable members, is there anything? Maybe also what you can assist us with is the definition of the Companies Act. It refers to the 1973 Act. How will the new amendment of the Companies Act be taken into account?
Thank you, Chair. I must say this question we're being asked regularly, and at least we've thoroughly considered the matter in consultation with the State Law Advisor.
Mr. Vukele, you're disturbing Mr. Wills.
Not at all, Chair, thank you. So we'd also prefer, as most critics and I would say perhaps even the Post Office directly, to refer to the new Companies Act. The Honourable Members would know there's an existing Companies Act of 1973, and then there's a very recent Companies Act that was promulgated as well. The new Act has not commenced yet. The existing 73 Act is still in force. So we've spoken to, and I have a note on my file somewhere, we're speaking to people at DTI And they've previously said it would commence in the third quarter of 2010, but we're not seeing anything commencing. So we've at all times said, well, if for some reason the commencement of the new act overtakes us, then we have a problem, and we need to then at that point consider what to do. But as long as the new act does not commence, we have to work with existing law, and we therefore have to work with the 1973 Act. And that's the current scenario. It doesn't create a problem, because when you, as other members would certainly know, when you create new law, you always make provision for a transition from the old to the new, and therefore the New Companies Act does have transitional provisions. The fact that the New Companies Act provides new forms of companies doesn't mean that closed corporations, for example, would simply disappear into thin air the moment the new act comes into operation. There's a transitional process where they'll be converted into the new forms. And so it applies to everything, from the changes to the memos and articles and the like. So there's no risk in referring to the existing act. What's more is, if you read it with the Interpretation Act, then it makes provision, because the Interpretation Act really says you'll read the new clause in circumstances similar to what existed under the old clause in the old Act. So that doesn't create a problem at all. But the factual matter is, as supported by the state law advisors, in law we're only in a position to refer to the 1973 Act at this stage. We cannot refer to something that doesn't, in effect, exist yet, because they haven't commenced yet. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Budela, maybe if we can go to chapter 4, page 27, the functions of the board, if you can just refresh us, and then until page, and deal with the disclosure issue until page 35. Page 27, the function of the board. If we can be, I think members will agree with me that Honorable Lenzen.
Thanks, Chair President. In line with what you are raising, I'm just thinking now, on page 33. Slide 33 or page 33, whichever, chapter 4. If as Mr. Vukela explains, the control of this huge task of the member of the board to see to it that he is, has a family member, business partner, associate, blah, 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 do not offer goods or services to the company. I'm raising this, Honorable Chairperson, understanding our tradition. When we talk a family, as a Mlenzana family, wide as it is, would I then, if I am that member of the board, be able to control and say, look, no one related to this bigger family would then offer service. If they could touch on that also.
Thank you. Any other input from the members?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks to the question raised by Honorable Member. I will quickly refresh members on the functions of the board, and then we can respond to the question raised by Honourable Member. I think it's a very critical question. that needs to be attended to. We'll do that. Honorable Chairperson requested us to refresh on the functions of the board, and I would like to project that in terms of presentation. Reference to clause 11 as it is in the bill in front of you, members. The purpose and the intention of this provision, members, is to provide for the functions and how the board is going to execute its functions on a day-to-day basis. And it further provided that the board must give effect on corporate plans. Corporate plans, because this is a Schedule 2 company in terms of Public Finance Management Act. And secondly, it is a subsidiary of the South African Post Office, which is government-owned 100%. The board chairperson is further, it is the accounting authority of the company, that the ones who account strategically to the shareholder, which is government, through the South African Post Office. And it further provides guidance on the MD, which is the executive and personnel of the company, concerning the exercise of the functions, on how the MD can execute his or her functions in relation to the operation of the company. The board does assist strategically. And the provision seeks to notify the minister immediately of any matter that may prevent or materially affect the achievement of the objects of this financial target of the company, how the minister can intervene. So I've covered those highlights on the functions of the board and how the board are going to assist the MD in trying to achieve the mandate of this company that we are trying to establish and comprise. Moving to the question raised by Honourable Member, it is a very critical question. I remember it took more than three sittings for the PCC clarifying that question that a member is raising, Chairperson. I'll hand over to my colleague to assist and respond, and then we can quickly satisfy that question. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. It's a good question in the sense that if you're a board member, of course you control what you own, you control your financial interest, and then you control any direct or indirect interests that you may have that are in conflict with the business of the company, and you control whether you transact or conduct any form of business with the own company that you're a board member of. So that's easy. But I think in order, this clause, and I think we're referring to clause 16.1b, which is a clause that says in addition to the member, his family members, including partners or associates, so people that he has an association with, be it through family or business, those people cannot do business with the Post Bank either. Now, there's a reason for that, because you want to prevent the board member from getting away from this requirement by then just putting the shares in the name of his wife, or spouse, or life partner, or maybe another silent partner somewhere, and that person then transacts. But the person actually represents the interests of the board member. So you're trying to avoid that kind of scenario. Now, but at the heart of the question is something else, and that is, how do you control family members in the wider sense of the word, which could be family members that are far removed, yet they're family members. I have a niece or a niece's sibling or something like that, which is a bit further removed in a certain sense than your direct family. So I think in order to resolve that problem, a definition has been inserted for family member, which seeks to resolve the issue. Because in the definition, if you'll read it, you'll find that it's only people that have, in a sense, a direct relationship with the member would constitute his family for purposes of this act. So, and typically that would be a parent, it would be on this, a spouse or a life partner, or it would be a child, which includes a stepchild or an adopted child. So all those people are in close proximity. You have a certain measure of control or at least a relationship with them that could ensure that you inform them of this particular prohibition in the act, so that there is no conflict that, that puts that relevant board member or the relevant family member at risk. Thank you, Chair.
Can we hear from the state law advisor if there's anything?
No, nothing to add. She actually was going to refer to the definition also as the solution to the problem, but my colleague has already covered that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Vugel, what is it that is?
No, Chair, I was trying to look at what COSATU presented then so that we can share with members. So I think we've got a presentation that I want to share with members. Yeah. Shall we continue?
Yes.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, members. I think we wanted to share with honorable members when we started this meeting this morning, honorable Chair raised a question, wanted to understand issues raised by the Eastern Cape Rural Board, COSATU and the like. So we were not prepared in our presentation this morning, but however, the good part of it, we had responded in the presentation to the PCC, so we can share with members in that regard. So the aim then was to respond and comment on the submission and issues raised by stakeholders during the PCC hearing and also the submission by to the committee in that regard. So submission by COSATU. COSATU raised an issue that they see government privatizing Post Bank. So we raised the question in terms of COSATU emphasis on corporatization and eventual privatization of the Post Bank, which they are not supporting in that regard. The department to that effect responded that no intention to privatize, as clause 9.1b, that enables the Post Bank to sell assets required in ordinary course of business. Even though clause 3, sub clause 5 of SAPO bill, which is the post office bill, I guess, will also come to this committee, is being presented to the PCC currently, enables the minister to sell 49% share subject of the post office, because Postbank, it is currently a division of Post Office, which will lead to become subsidiary when corporatized and regularized. The department further reported that, however, it was dedicated a brief statement that provides into a state that SAPO is the sole shareholder, as it is currently by the law. Legislative amendment therefore first requires that protect the Postbank. This is the process that this committee is undertaking. We need to first protect this company. And we talk about the question of Dumbel Pandey that remains with no impact on job security. We engage consultants at length in terms of job security. And there's a provision in this bill that talks about the issue of labor relations matters that consultants need to engage with the company through the bargaining processes. It is a COSATU mandate that needs to be done. COSATU then further claim lack of consultation to the committee. It is immaterial. We raised the response to COSATU. We have proven that we did consult it. At the end of the day, they withdrew their claim that they made it from the politicians. But however, we had a thorough consultation with COSATU. Even after the public hearings that the PC held, we had a meeting in Pretoria in DOC offices with President of Q and other office bearers that come from the Q and COSATU in that regard. So this matter was quietly resolved. COSATU further raised the question of collective bargaining that needs to be required. Honorable Chairperson, when we present the bill to Parliament, the bill had a schedule that talks about how employees are going to be transferred from one company to the other, as my colleague have just said. And they request a space to pay to say, this is a labor matter. So they want to participate, and the provision has been created that talks about labor matters. That COSATU, as a union organizer within the company, they are required a space to negotiate condition of service. That, in terms of the law, has been resolved and covered. So this is a response to government, the COSATU names that were presented to Parliament. I won't go to that issue. Object of the bill. It was further submitted that additional objects such as promotion of increased financial sustainability literacy should be included in the bill. This was COSATU's submission. Though the proposed objects are welcome, objects must be linked to functions. We are aware of the fact that when they develop legislation, the object should provide a vision. And how do you want this company to begin to execute its functions? This is the response by the department. Condition of employment, I've talked about it as COSATU's mandate. I would like to go to the removal of Schedule 1. I've talked about it. We remove Schedule 1. We give the labor matters a precedence that COSATU can negotiate with the company. Condition of service is labor relations issue. We agreed in that regard. Public consultation memorandum of articles, that will be done as soon as the bill gets promulgated. We need to begin to prepare the memorandum of articles who can be consulted. I think National Assembly might need to be involved. This committee might be involved in just trying to fine-tune what type of articles do you want to see happening. On the board, COSATU submitted that they want representation in the board. You know, if the union members here, they know that union demands to sit. The good part of this, Honorable Chair, is that we are not going to determine who sits, who doesn't sit. There's going to be a fit and proper assessment. This, we talk about money here. It is not like a board of for other institutions, you know, social institutions. Here we talk about money. We talk about a bank. So if the labor does have a person who can require a fit and proper, that person needs to go through stringent requirements of being assessed by the register of bank. And the bill does talk to that effect. That, yes, indeed, currently as it is, COSATU does have a 2-seat in the Post Office Board. But however, in this board, whoever can sit here must go through the requirement of assessment. Whether it's a government rep assigned by the minister, you have to go through assessment. And the registrar must certify you as fit and proper. So that has been agreed, that we do not create an institution that will, at the end of the day, it collapsed. We want to get credible people who understand how banks are run. Were issues raised by ICASA, I think were quite consequential. They support the bill. They raised the issue of consequential that was addressed and agreed with ICASA. We talk about question of regulations. I won't talk about that because just minor issues. National Treasury, I want to go to this slide as the chairperson raised. There are submission made by Eastern Capital Board. They came to present to the Parliament, to the Portfolio Committee on Communications, to talk about the role of the bank should play in the development of communities, especially rural communities. They were not precisely talking on the content of the bill. Their role as youth, they wanted this bank to have footprint one in communities. This bank should be able to be accessed by every citizen of this country. And thirdly, this bank should be able to have requirements that people of this country will miss. Because you talk about a sector that majority of this of people in this country cannot afford to open a bank account because of stringent requirements. That are the youth presentation. Question of long queues, few staff, not enough security, post banks closing early currently, distance to post offices. These are genuine cases that we see on the debates. So let's hear the response from the department. The youth talk about building ATMs, introduction of PIN codes, cards, mobile banks, roadshows, improve security, build network with other commercial banks, and provide minimum rates and charges. If you go back to the objects, we borrowed some of these wages. This, we provided the question of rates and charges in the object. That's a vision of the bank. That has been taken care of. Government response. We said most of the youth proposals are one operational in nature and cannot be captured in the bill, as the chair just said. It is, however, important to note that the department supports the submission and will work closely with the post to ensure that the recommendations are implemented. We talk about the objects as it is in the white paper. The bill not incorporated in the white paper issues which has been raised to transform the country's postal services. It has been alleged that the bill as it is currently does not cover the vision that government raised in 1998. Hence, we went back to say, let's first understand what government said in 1998 in terms of the vision when it said this bank. Most of the vision raised, question for mass mobilization, the bank of first choice, bank of accessibility, that raised in the object to cover those issues. So the issue of youth board, though they're operational in nature, we took them along in the working committee where we sit with Reserve Bank, National Treasury, and Post Bank, and begin to ensure that as soon as this bank becomes in operations, we need to understand the issue that Reserve Bank will put in place, because some of them are issues that are outside DOC mandate, are within Treasury's mandate. So that is how we responded to that effect, Honourable Members. And from there, there were PCC questions raised. Honourable Members, I think I'll pause there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, very much. And I think most of the issues that were raised now is the issues regarding the part of service delivery. For example, what is going to happen after the bill, the service delivery issues that the committee is really more interested in the implementation. Because when we started, we said this bill is more than welcomed. You remember even the example that was given by one member, Honorable Mabija, saying in the rural area there was an old lady who took the 50,000 and put on between the So I think we want to do away with those so that our pensioners, our people in the rural area, in the rural areas are given more opportunities by this bill to actually make sure that their monies are being captured and protected. So I think we, Honorable Lenzan, I'm sorry for not.
Thanks, Chairperson, for allowing me to think aloud. I'm trying to combine here, Chairperson, today's response to the last session's response. If you look at the input, I would now not be sure of the slide. There's some kind of an interdepartmental kind of an arrangement where a conglomeration of, I wouldn't say stakeholders per se, but of responsible partners, you know, are put together. Departments, banks, and all. I'm thinking on now the accountability, post this arrangement. The last time, it was said, ultimately, this is the bank, you would remember. And as such, department's responsibility would, with time, be scaled down. That was the thing. And now I'm now listening to these responses to COSATU's issues. When COSATU is questioning privatization. And the explanation given to COSATU is that no. It is still government's responsibility. 51% if I got it. Then it's 49% which could be sold out. Now, that question comes back now as to at the end of the day, if then we agree and leave this bill to be enacted as such, who then holds the accountability? What? Who is at the core of it? Let me put it like that. At the end of the day, won't we see a situation where, Honorable Chairperson, when these issues, the service delivery issues raised by the youth of the Eastern Cape, begin to manifest themselves once more in this new arrangement of the Post Bank, where when you go to the Department of Communications, they will say, look, we did our part. Now, you are talking now to the bank and all that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Mr. Mubele?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks, Member. You are raising tough questions. But we have response to these tough questions. Really, I want to commend you. You are raising tough questions. But the good thing about these questions, some of them we determine them in the upfront and then prepared response to that effect. Chair, the arrangement is quite simple. What the department is doing here, it's not bringing in any new things. We're effecting government policy. In the previous meeting, Honorable Chair, we said when this government took power in 1994, the first issue to look at was Queen of Post Bank. Hence, by then, in 1995, 1996, there was already a green paper. Just after we took power, there's already a green paper to drive the future of Post Bank. In 1998, government established a policy which precisely indicates three layers. They were given marching orders. In fact, this bank is long overdue. It's late by now because 12 years down the line, since government pronounced then. Now, the arrangement that Honorable Chair's raising, where you see multi departments involved. In 2005, the late Minister of Communications and the then Minister of Finance, Honorable Manuel, they said quickly to say, hang on, I think we're delaying the process here. Let's sign an MOU together where we're giving commitment. I think we made that MOU available. If not, we can do that. In that MOU, they've outlined stages to say, before you can begin to talk about a bill, the following should be done, giving marching orders to two departments then. The third element, member, you are quite right. Remember, the financial sector is within the register of banks and the Reserve Bank. I don't think you are able to do anything without them involved, because that the experts matter in that proper environment. Two ministers establish a committee that involves DOC, that involves National Treasury, that involves Reserve Bank, that involves FSB, that involves the Register of Banks, that provide a model trying to corporatize those banks. Each department or committee sitting then had a mandate. Now, mandate of DOC was say, go and establish a policy. Remember, currently the banks issue are still with the Postal Service Act that is coming to you next, General Chair, that we're going to amend, because already we've taken provisions from that law. We need to amend it. Hence, we are trying to provide a dedicated legislation for the company. Secondly, Reserve Bank work on the issue of licensing with finance department. We said last meeting, Chair, that in October, this bill was rejected by Cabinet. On the reason of Clause 4, because as government, as DOC, we felt that because this is a government bank, you can deem it being lessened. We deemed it in the provision. We pressed the Lord Cabinet. Cabinet says, no, hang on. You cannot deem a financial bank because there are risks involved. This bank must go through scrutiny. Like anybody else, it came back. We took the matter to Minister of Finance, to say, Finance, this is your competency. You must ensure that this bank goes through the senior requirements as part of accountability. Chair, you are right that at the end, we need to see somebody call for taking accountability. That you are quite right. Now, the bill provided consensus to be made between two ministries, Minister of Communications and Minister of Finance. Currently, you can see whatever the two need to be done, they must agree. They must reach consensus. The matter that involved here is to ensure that we're able to address the question of risk. Minister of Communication will say, Minister of Finance, I want to do something. Is it feasible? And then they agree, because this bank were taking ownership of that effect. The rest of the stakeholder involvement, they'll be doing their own operational matter, issue of regulations, they'll be done by the Department of Communications with the involvement of Reserve Bank. Now, the fourth element, honorable member, is that, as I said, before you can appoint anybody to sit in the board, we say, hang on, register, assess this person. Is this person fit and proper? Is this person able to manage institution of a banking nature? We are bringing in accountability. But at the end of the day, Minister of Communication is accountable. He is the one who initiates all these activities with his coalition cabinet. Hence, the PCC, in one of the sittings, they really emphasize that even that policy that Minister will make, that policy must come to Parliament. Okay. There's a provision you saw here that we succumb to say it's fine because of banking nature. Before minister can go and publish a policy, it must go through all level of scrutiny until here, and then people give it a blessing to begin to manage risk, because he's at the cold face. But in conclusion, Chair, you raise a very, very valuable question, which is what's difficult, but At the whole phase, our minister is one who take accountability.
Sure.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. My colleagues, I'm sure, want to add.
Well, thank you, Chair. I think that was a mouthful. I can add another mouthful at the risk of confusing us even further, but it's up to the Chair. If the Honorable Member feels it's answered, then I'll keep quiet. Otherwise, I can also spend a few minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think members are now satisfied.
Yeah.
And now the next, what we're going to do now, we're going to go through cloth by cloth. Honorable members, I think in front of us we have the bill, the South African Oil Limited Bill. That's Bill B14B of 2009. Do you have that?
Yes.
Honorable Mlenzana, you know if you look so... Yeah.
But Chairperson, I'm speaking for myself, not other members. But I had thought, you know, a host of his clarification questions that we were asking are from this document that we are referring us to.
This one?
Yes.
Yes.
So now one would wonder, do we still have now to redo the presentation?
We haven't go cloth by cloth, checking, and the state law advisor is here. Sometimes, you know, even if we are not like legal people, sometimes when we go through cloth by cloth with the state law advisor being with us, if there's a mistake that is, even a printing mistake, even a that can bring us back, you know, while we try to pass the bill in the NCOP in the chamber. So now what we're going to do, we're going to go close by close, looking, you know, agreeing with what the bill is saying. Honorable Mabija? So this is a serious step that we are now taking, clause by clause. As I've said, that's why I mentioned Bill B14B of 2009. I hope everyone is having that one. It's as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Communications, National Assembly. Then we've got the bill to provide for the incorporation of the Post Bank Division of the South African Post Office to provide for the transfer. I'm not going to read, but I just wanted us to make sure that we have the right document in front of us to provide for the transfer of the enterprise of that division to the Post Bank Company to provide for the governance and functions of the Post Bank Company and to provide for matters connected therewith. So we have arrangements of sections, and then that's page 2 that we are on now. It says chapter 1, interpretation and object of the act, incorporation and transfer of enterprise, powers and duties of the company, control and management of the company. Page 3, then we've got Chapter 5, funds and financial accounts of the company, then general and miscellaneous. Then we've got Schedule 1, interpretation, that Chapter 1. Clause 1 of the definitions. Are we agreeing that everything is fine, state law advisor, you must also be alert so that you assist us. Page 4. Honorable Mabija. Okay, thank you, Honorable Mabija. I didn't want to say I'm feeling cold because I wanted someone else to raise it.
Yeah.
Okay, we are now on interpretation. Let's close one. Agreed. Okay. Object of act, that's clause 2. Incorporation and transfer of enterprise. Registration as bank. Page 5. Determination of extent of business to be transferred. That's clause 5. Members, you must indicate that you are agreeing, otherwise...
Agree.
Okay, clause 6. Then clause 7. Thank you. Clause 8. Thank you. Powers and duties of the company. Clause 9. Clause 10. Thank you. Clause 11. Clause 12. Clause 13. Appointment of board members. Clause 14. Clause 15, page 8.
Yes.
Disclosure and fiduciary duties of board members. Clause 16.
Yes.
Clause 17, procedures at meetings and committees of the board. Clause 18.
Honorable Feldman agrees.
Clause 19.
Agrees.
Clause 20.
Agrees.
Clause 23.
21.
Oh. 21. Sorry.
Okay.
22 funds and funds of the company. Okay, the fund of the company consists. Okay, clause 23. Clause 24.
Agree.
General and miscellaneous. Clause 25. Clause 26.
Agreed.
27.
Agreed.
28. verse 29.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, verse 30, the transitional provision. Repeal of laws, verse 31.
Great.
And the subtitle and commencement. This act is called the South African Post Bank Limited Act of 2010 and takes effect on a date determined by the President by notice in the Gazette.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we've got Schedule 1. And after that, you've got Memorandum of the Object of the South African Post Bank Limited Bill, which is everything that we have been going through. And we have recognized and acknowledged. And that brings us to the report, that the report of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises on the South African Post Bank Bill, Bill B14B of 2009, from the National Assembly, that is Section 75, dated 13th October 2010, that the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, having considered the South African Post Bank Bill, Bill B14B, 2009, from the National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it, reports the bill without proposed amendment.
Agreed.
Thank you. And I'm going to send on behalf of all of
Beltman.
And the report is moving, honorable members. Can we move the adoption and the seconder? Mr. Dipier, seconded by honorable Mabija. Let me thank the state law advisor. Your eyes are going red. Huh? Can you say something?
No, I think the member is right, so I'm relieved. Maybe I was still expecting more more thick amendments.
Oh, amendments. No, you see, I think this one, we've been waiting for it.
Yeah.
And now we've got it. You heard how the first time we received this bill, the presentation, how members interacted. It was like, why didn't you bring it last year? Immediately the fourth term of Parliament commenced. But now we've got it. We want to see the implementation.
Yeah.
And we want members of this committee particularly, because we represent provinces. We want to see the implementation as... Finish up, Mr. Mlenzen, or Honorable Mabit. You know, the implementation part of it. We don't want to hear that the Department of Communication is there.
Yeah.
We want that information. We don't want to see you on TV. We want to be part, so that we make oversight on this thing. Honorable Mabit.
Just said a lot to what I wanted to say. You see, everything is summed up. And please, do not disappoint us. We don't want you to hear about infighting. We don't want to hear about corruption. We don't want to hear nepotism. All those negative things that we are viewing on TV, we are reading in newspapers. We are not there for that. When we are agreeing to this, we want the department to be very, very vigilant, honest. Everything that is positive, because we are agreeing
on
it.
No, it's off record.
We are accepting this honestly, openly, and supportively. So we do not want to hear any blemishes. You see,
all those things, all negative things, we don't want to get involved. And we don't want to, if there are any challenges, we do not want to get them through papers and TV.
Come
you
here.
Talk to us and we see how to deal with those things.
Yes.
That is what I'm emphasizing. We are sick and tired of viewing things that are negative in this government. And so we do not expect that from this department. We are very, very happy and will be supportive and we are confident that together we are going to do more so that this implementation becomes a success.
Mm. And together we are going to make a difference.
Yes.
Honorable First Man.
Because I had a room break home.
I fully agree.
Thank you very much. Let me thank the department for the positive step that has been taken by coming with a bill that will be of assistance to the communities, especially in the rural areas where we come from.
Yes.
You know, we come from rural areas.
Yes.
We're not from the cities.
Yeah, where we come
from. We come from the rural areas. Wherever you go to the bus stop, you take an umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, because of the sun, hot sun.
Yeah.
You know, and you step, you stand at the bus stop, taxi stop, where the taxi comes after 2 hours. So that's where we want the implementation. Thank you. Honorable Mabija, am I challenging you?
Was she part of the NDC?
Maybe they do not know. I'm the whip of this event committee. And I will whip across over
the yes.
I'm very good at that. Mm. So if the mana business that was going on is myself, and just like harmonia, we don't want to be whipping.
She's a rich woman,
Mr. Bugel.
Honorable Chair, I think it's proper for the department to say a word before we depart from this committee. The corporation and the manner in which this committee have handled this bill. And the second, the ways that are coming on, those sound political statements, but to us, they are just awakening statements. I wish if my HNDG was sitting here. What I can say to the committee is that the department is taking this matter as a priority. I agree with honorable members that if there are issues of differences, we do not project them in the media. However, we'll do all our best that we can do in trying to implement this legislation. As soon as the president enacts it, I guess my DG will come here again and seek assistance from the committee in terms of implementation that I guess will be done. So from us, the department, we are quite honored to have you here engaging us at that level. So we feel that we do have people who look after the communities at large. So in those few ways, Honorable Chair, I really appreciate and we are humbled by all these ways. It's a challenge to us moving forward that whatever we do, we need to involve this committee. There are many bills coming, so from now you will see us pestering your involvement moving forward. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. And I think we are going to members. It's not a big bill, it's a Section 75. I think members will agree with me if I propose that we just have a statement in the house.
Yeah.
Because we can, it's Section 75,
yeah.
And though it's a very important, but a statement, only a statement.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bugel and your team. Honorable members, next week you will agree with me because we have planned for this bill for even next week, but the way we moved with it, with speed, the way we interacted. So we're going to change, we're going to put something else for next week.
Preferable sister repeats this quotation.
Okay. The Groot play, Groot play.
Yeah.
Okay, we look. I think it was on the. It is on the program.
We will see.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. Thanks. See you next week.
Yeah.
Okay. hour, 15 minutes. Not very long at all. Yeah.